broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country. To do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the brilliant checks and balances put in place in the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, as our protection. The problem is the American people are derelict in their duty. So are the members of Congress. And therefore, hey, the whole legislative branch and the branch where we the people matter most. In other words, we got our just power from God. And you document that in the Declaration of Independence, and then you realize we delegated that authority to government via a dual contract with the general government called the United States Constitution, and with your state constitution. We delegated jurisdictional boundaries and authority to each of them, but they're abusing it, and we the people are not demanding they obey the law. That is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. There's so much to discover. There's so little time. Let's just, get right to it, shall we? Yesterday, of course, we had on Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan. We talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about how gold and silver is just absolutely out of control. It hasn't changed much, but the dollar seems to keep dropping. That's really the reality. We talked about the presidential fourth primary debate. We broke it down for you, folks, and played a lot of the first hour clips. And Vivek Ramaswamy said a ton of good things. Chris Christie just showed what a curmudgeon and out of touch and clueless he is. Nikki Haley showed how she's just a hostile, hate-filled woman. And Ron DeSantis did pretty good, a lot more forceful than he's ever done before. But again, not forceful enough to turn around the country. I'll tell you that right now. There's nobody on the stage that's really part of the solution. Donald wasn't there at all. He was at a fundraiser. He skipped all four debates. They mock him, say that he's chickened the debate. But my response is, it just proves his intelligence. Why would somebody intelligent like him that's winning by 40-plus points in every poll possible anywhere even consider debating with those clowns? It just gives them a chance to be on his, quote, level, if you will. He won't stand for it. I don't blame him. That was first hour. Second hour, we had Mary Toko on, vaccine expert. And we talked to her about a bunch of different things, including the debate. But the real issue we talked to her about was this. What do you need to know about the new COVID version? I don't know if you know about it, but it's called EG-5. It's a variant. They say that it's getting everybody sick. It's a combination between the flu, the cold, and the COVID. And what I find most fascinating about this whole discussion is they told you, anybody who says the flu's like the COVID, they're ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. How dare them? They don't have scientific Okay. Now they say, it's just like the cold and the flu and the COVID mixed together. It won't kill you like some of the previous versions of COVID, but boy, howdy, you need to get vaxxed. And boy, howdy, do we need to advance the vaccine passport. And boy, howdy, anybody who opposes this is an absolute criminal and trying to get everybody sick and kill everybody. And man, we must turn everything over from the United States to the World Health Organization. And if we don't, oh my gosh, it's just going to be a disaster globally. Never mind evidence coming out every single day that those who didn't take the vaxes are the most safe, healthy people on the planet. And those who took the vax are in serious, serious, serious trouble because it messed with their RNA. It messed with their hearts. It messed with their blood. I mean, it just did disaster, did a number on their health. Evidence is everywhere to prove this fact, but they just double down on stupidity, globally speaking. The Republicans don't really even speak out against it much. The only person pushing for prosecution for criminal Anthony Fauci is Rand Paul, and since no one's backing him, it's really going nowhere. Sad to say, but true. We need Nuremberg-style trials on this thing, globally speaking. None of it's going to happen. What they're going to do is move to climate change, which will be on steroids. compared to the coronavirus in its implications. There's the summary of that reality check. With that, we'll introduce Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and say welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Well, howdy. The good thing is the week is ending, I guess. I mean, we've got some pretty, it's a whirlwind of activity that's happening around the world. And you know, you've touched on a number of things, and each one of them has all of its ramifications. So, you know, we ought to fasten our seatbelt and see what we can stir up today, I guess.
It just shows how much we cover in the show. And it also shows how on target we are, different from other radio shows, radio networks, talk shows, etc. They talk a little bit about the things that we discuss, but very few hit on all cylinders regarding these things like we do. When we had Dr. Scott Bradley on on Monday, we talked about Ammon Bundy. What are we to do was the question Ammon asked that I repeated. And we talked about this Bundy video. You know what? St. Luke's literally took his home. Who are they? What are they doing? What does it mean for Ammon Bundy? What does it mean for Idaho? We talked about that in detail. But then after that, the next day, we had on Diego. And what I don't really understand about Diego is this. He's a Mexican. Okay? A complete Mexican. But they say Diego's a white supremacist. Why? Because he hangs out with Ammon Bundy. Because he gets interviewed by Sam Bushman. This guy's a full Mexican. Diego Rodriguez is his name. He's the grandfather of baby Cyrus that got stolen by St. Luke's Hospital. They had a foster family in waiting to take the baby. That's how they make tons of money, says Diego. But they literally barbecued Diego and Ammon Bundy for using their free speech. It started out with the simple, Ammon Bundy's trespassing. A bunch of people at the hospital, but Ammon Bundy was the only one that was trespassing. How that works is, again, another anomaly in America, singled out prosecution. Nevertheless, trespassing is nothing. Ammon copped to it. They asked him to leave, and he didn't, and said he didn't realize they really wanted him to leave. Anyway, long story short, Ammon thought it was all solved. Then they literally said, no, because of your free speech, Diego and Ammon, the St. Luke's Hospital sued them and won $52 million. Well, neither of them have even close to $52 million. So Diego left the state. Thank heavens his grandson Cyrus is doing very well now. They got the baby away from the government thanks to the People's Rights Organization, one of the greatest neighborhood watch organizations ever created. And then literally, they tell you it's a terrorist organization. And literally over free speech now, then they piled paperwork on Ammon Bundy, paper terrorism, so much so that he couldn't respond. So he didn't respond, didn't go to court. Then the conviction happened, $52 million. He then tried to stay in his house and work through it, but the thugs were coming to get him. So he just left his house. He's gone. And now the government, in bed with St. Luke's Hospital, literally just stole his house. So now you got Ken Cromar in prison, you got Ammon Bundy on the run, and you got Diego coming on Liberty Roundtable Live speaking out going, this is insane. They took down all of their websites, but yet internationally they found ways to put them back up. Can the United States take them down internationally now? Only the World Economic Forum and time will tell. Nevertheless, the battle's on. Ammon's on the run. Ken's in jail. I submit they're coming for Sam and Scott and Richard Mack and everybody else next. We talked about the book just the other day where they basically say that everybody's guilty of like three felonies a day. And it's just insane what's happening. I don't know that it's possible to stay out of trouble if they want to get you in trouble, is the problem. Now, it turns out, just to be very, very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, I have been now confirmed. The letter they wrote saying from the Southern Poverty Law Center that I'm a white supremacist, that I'm the nexus of hate and anti-government in America, That letter has been read into Congress. My Congress representative confirmed that to me. When we asked if there was an investigation from the FBI, the Justice Department, anybody in result to the request of that letter to Congress, we were told by the FBI, we do investigations all the time. We will not let you know if there's an investigation against Sam Bushman or not, because an arrest may be imminent, and we don't want to give Sam Bushman a heads up. Doctor, before we get into FISA, which we'll get into today, that is what is happening, sir.
Well, the Justice Department obviously is misnamed. There is not much justice in such an animal, a critter, a creature, whatever you want to call it. And by the way, this kind of dovetails into FISA courts, the ex parte process.
Yes, it does. That's why I'm bringing it up.
The idea that somebody in secret behind closed doors, I mean, shades of the Star Chamber, we could talk at length about that, too, and what it was like in England under that, where depositions were read before a court. You hear about these strange things in stuff like the Sixth Amendment about having
By the way, skip the break. Keep going, Doctor.
Okay, well, this idea of the Sixth Amendment came out of the horrid experience that the Founding Fathers knew had been had in the Star Chambers in England, where it was basically a secret court. Initially, the idea was that it was a place where the rich and famous could be taken so that the common folk had a little bit more leverage. They kept everything kind of secret, and people gave depositions if they were allowed, and in person they spoke through a hole in the door or a wall. You didn't get to see who they were. The idea of confronting witnesses against you, oh, my goodness, we couldn't have that. And, cross-examination, it's absolutely essential that you have cross-examination capability to make certain that it hasn't been railroaded through, okay? Guys like old Sir Walter Raleigh found out that didn't work out so good to them. They lost their head. When they had these kangaroo court kind of things where... There wasn't all the checks and balances and the protections for the defendant and so on and so forth. So that's why we got the Sixth Amendment. Okay, so this idea of ex parte courts, meaning there's only one side that's presented in the court, and it's the prosecution, if you will. Okay, so let's think about this for just a second. Let's talk about how this was with red flag laws. A neighbor, a friend, a former girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever goes and makes a report, it goes before a judge, probably hand-selected because they know how they feel about the Second Amendment. They go in there and say, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. We got to take away this guy's guns. The guy never has a chance to, he doesn't even know somebody's asking a question in a court or before a judge or anything like that. He's kind of going on with his life. And so they give a...
Like me with the report against me to Congress Terrorism Committee, that kind of stuff.
All this ties together, Sam. I mean, and so here we go with this review that isn't a review. It's a one-sided, single-purpose kind of thing. And with the FISA courts, we'll get to maybe again today, when we have these kinds of courts, they have almost 100%. When you have tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of requests come before them for certain warrants and so on, and you don't approve about 100 of them in all the history of the case. I mean, it's like, it's a kangaroo court with a rubber stamp, as one guy said. You know, I got, those things where you put a stamp on the envelope that's a rubber stamp thing and it has your return address to put on your top of your envelope. I got those in my drawer that don't function as perfectly as the FISA court when it's asked to push the stamp and get it to happen. Okay, so a rubber stamp in a kangaroo court. All of these things are happening. And so the red flag laws, they come out and take somebody's guns. This idea of the FBI deciding they're going to take Sam to the task and nobody... I mean, do you have a say in it? No. Do you have any opportunity to defend your character, put it all on the table? No, you don't. Well, we'll take care of that later. So said Donald Trump with the red flag laws. FISA courts are very, very similar. An unconstitutional court, first of all, We can get to that in a while, from its inception in 1978. And the appointment process is unconstitutional. It's just, it does not follow anything the Founding Fathers set up. And those kinds of things are being abused. A section of that FISA, the 702, well, everything's up for grabs and renewal at the end of this month. And the intelligence committee, or community, I guess I should say, is saying, oh my goodness, if we lose all this capability, we're gonna be flying blind in the middle of a snowstorm and in the Rocky Mountains and on and so on and so forth. We're gonna all crash, we're all gonna die. But my heavens, the 702 issue with under George Bush, FISA court, by the way, in 1978 was created. Jimmy Carter was president. The Democrats had control in the House. The Democrats had control in the Senate. But it keeps getting renewed periodically, and Donald Trump was the last one that signed the renewal in 2017. And we all know it's going to expire. Everybody, I mean, it's kind of like the budget, end of the budget year coming up. We know it's going to be September 30th. It's going to be there every year. But the Congress kicks the can down the road until the last minute, and they keep doing budget extensions, you know, because they can't seem to get their act together. This FISA thing is exactly the same thing. They know when the expiration date is. They know they've got a responsibility. Well, the responsibility basically would probably be to disband it, because it's so unconstitutional on every level. It's been abused. We could talk about Carter Page and what happened to him back in the Trump run-up to the Russia thing, and how all of this stuff got out of whack. And you know what? I've reviewed a lot of these things, and I guess I'm jabbering a whole bunch of different ways, because everywhere you look, there's a mess. But what happens with this is the euphemistic terms that they use about it. Yes, there are problems. They're rare, but when we find them, we put a new regulation in place or add additional training for the personnel that are going to be exercising this so that they can do a better job. I mean, it's so, really, did anybody go to jail? Did anybody, for lying on the FISA court application for Carter Page, for example, did anybody go to jail for lying on that? Or was it, did they say that? Well, it wasn't quite true, but everybody goes down the road merrily. I mean, if people started going to prison when they abused America's, you know, like Fourth Amendment protections, for example, or their Fifth Amendment or their Sixth Amendment, those protections get violated constantly under these things. And the way these things are written, they just say basically, well, it's for the protection of all Americans. Look, back in, I think it was 2004, in April, I think it was of 2004, this is related, although it's not the FISA court exactly. I testified in the United States Senate Judiciary Committee regarding the Patriot Act renewal. And I'm, to my knowledge, well, I guess I can't make a broader statement as this, but I don't believe anybody in the room had ever read it, except for me. And to this date, I would be shocked if people are reading it cover to cover, top to bottom, side to side, you know, cross-referencing and annotating and everything else like that. I was the only one, to my knowledge, in the room that had ever read it. And the fact of the matter is, it completely got rid of the Fourth Amendment, basically. We don't have a Fourth Amendment in the United States anymore, effectively. I mean, yeah, I've got it in my hands right now, but we don't live by it, you know. And the Sixth Amendment, forget it. All this FISA court nonsense about confronting witnesses, Sam and his FBI investigation, if they're doing one, I don't know if they are or not, who knows. But the fact of the matter is, this idea of red flag laws, I mean, holy Hannah. I mean, at every turn, it's a mess, and they're going to renew it. I write it down. We'll check it out January 1st. I don't know when we're next on the air, in the first of the year, but let's write it down to talk about it. Did they extend or did they renew the FISA? Did they renew 702? The answer will be yes, they did, but we put significant protections in there for Americans.
All right, so we need to take a step back, though. doctor, because I appreciate what you're saying. I think you're absolutely right. But we get these sections of things. So we get the FISA court. We get Section 702. We get all these terms that people don't really understand. So let me kind of back up and reset the discussion a little bit for educational sake. Because, again, the problem is Dr. Scott Bradley and others are so knowledgeable about this. It's like a doctor. He wants to tell you all about your health, and then he uses 300 words, and I don't even know what those words mean. And when he gets done, he's certainly got it nailed, but I don't have a clue what he meant. So I want to kind of just start out for a second and say this. The National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, is kind of the core of all this. And that is a group of, quote, United States supposed federal laws that relate to the annual budget and the expenditures of the, quote, U.S. Department of Defense. I don't know what you want to call it. Series of laws. The NDAA first started back in 1961. All right. Congress, the House, oversees the budget. You got the National Defense Authorization Act. And then you got defense appropriations bills. All right. And it's a division of the Senate Arms Committee. And it recommends funding levels, sets the policies in which money will be spent. And it goes on and on and on. And then the appropriations bills provides the funds for this thing. Anyway, they go on and on and on. And then every year, every 2 years, every whatever, they kind of revisit this. And they kind of name it. The latest one, for example, is kind of under whoever is leading the charge this time. Or whatever you want to, right? So it's important to kind of get that basic general framework, because everything else we're talking about really relates to and is under the budget of that, right?
Well, the FISA stuff has to do with intelligence gathering. You know, how do you...
Yeah, but it's under
spy.
NDAA, right?
Well, it's a defense thing, sure. But here's the deal. The FISA court is where they go to get warrants to be able to surveil... on domestic soil here. Now, the 702 thing is really where they're looking overseas, and they're sweeping around with this big net, you know, for everybody that might be out there jabbering on, whether it's the internet, email, text messages, voicemail, all that kind of stuff. They're out there sweeping this big net around, and Sam Bushman's name came up, or Carter Page's name came up, whatever. Well, they can decide if they're going to domestically surveil that person. And so they go to the court and they say, you know, in ex parte, meaning you're not represented there. We think that Carter Page might be a person of interest that we need to, you know, gather more information on. And so the FISA court, on almost, it's probably 99.9997%. It was about where your probability of surviving COVID was. But at the percentage of the chance of them issuing a warrant to surveil a Carter Page is so high, the chances of it being denied is almost impossible. So American citizens whose name came up in some kind of chatter that was out there in the international world of somebody that they were sweeping around and they heard your name talk about in regards to Russia or China or something. Now they're gonna put a warrant out to surveil you. And so Americans are in under the microscope too. Anyway, it sounds like we've got to take a hard break at this time.
All right, so who controlled the purse strings in 1961 when NDAA was started and cranked up, huh? We'll talk about it.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The clock is ticking to get aid to Ukraine. This week, President Biden called Republicans extreme in an attempt to get his funding approved.
Extreme Republicans are playing chicken with our national security, holding Ukraine's funding hostage with their extreme partisan border policies. Petty, partisan, angry politics can't get in the way of our responsibility as a leading nation in the world.
Republicans are opposed to passing the measure unless Democrats agree to border policy changes now that 12,000 immigrants a day are entering the United States illegally. Axios is reporting University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill is being asked to resign by the board of Penn's Wharton Business School. A wealthy donor pulled a $100 million gift to the school, citing McGill's appearance on Capitol Hill this week, talking about school policy on anti-Semitism as the main reason. Baghdad, Iraq's heavily fortified green zone housing the U.S. Embassy was targeted with several rockets at dawn this morning, Baghdad time. Two security sources talking with Reuters say it was not clear where the rockets had hit and whether there was any damage. No group immediately claimed responsibility. President Biden's son, Hunter, is facing federal tax charges. Special Counsel David Weiss is charging Biden with 9 counts, including 3 felonies. Prosecutors accuse Biden of failing to pay at least $1.4 million in federal taxes from 2016 through 2019. A 28-year-old man is facing federal charges after firing shots outside an Albany, New York synagogue yesterday. It happened hours before the start of Hanukkah. Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul says no one was injured when the unidentified man allegedly fired shots while making threatening statements in the parking lot of Temple Israel. The location is also a preschool center. USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get 4 of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
All right, so I want everybody to understand that, look, NDAA is the start of this abuse. It all happened in 61 under a Democrat-controlled House, Senate, and President. All right, so you can blame the Democrats for the general NDAA. But right now, conservative members of the House Republican Committee Conference, they say are pushing back on an extension of the NDAA, this surveillance law, this private court system called FISA. That's according to The Hill. Now, understand that Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, right, is a provision that enables the government to literally conduct surveillance on everyone. They first claimed it was on foreign intelligence. But then Bush, a Republican, was forced to admit that it was really on everybody. Okay, that's the problem that we're kind of facing. This comes up every year. All right? And the problem is, we pretend that it's a Democrat thing. We pretend that Republicans are against it. We're talking about Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and many other people that are against it speaking out boldly going, hey, this is horrible. But listen, after 9/11 is when NDAA got more FISA push, more control, more defined, more funding, more aggressive, more, instead of international, more focused on Americans, etc. That was all under Republican control. The reason that I'm bringing this all up is we don't, you know, we can blame the president and go, oh my gosh, Joe's bad. He's going to sign Pfizer. He's going to this or that. We love to do this. We love to dismiss Congress. We love to dismiss the House, the people that pull the purse strings or hold the purse strings. And we love to blame the president and leave Congress off the hook. And this Pfizer thing is a coming. It's going to expire. It will renew. Republicans will wring their hands and complain. But the fact is nothing will change, doctor. In fact, it will get worse. Write it down and remember who warned you first. Your response, doctor.
Well, okay, it expires the 31st of December. And they knew that was coming up, but now they're just kind of wringing their hands, as you point out. So it expires then, and again, we sometime after the first of the year, maybe if you'll remember to bring it up, we'll say, hey, did they renew that reauthorization act of FISA at the end of the year? Yes, the answer will be yes. The last time they renewed the full reauthorization, the FISA Amendments Reauthorization Act of 2017. Who was that guy? Oh, that was Donald Trump. He renewed it then. And he signed it. And he signed it with a signing statement that basically said he'd like to make it permanent. Okay? So their proposed reauthorization act is coming up. Here it is. We're a week into December. We got 3 weeks left. They will pass it again. And you probably have got some idea of the complexities of it by my smear that I kind of threw out there in as a shotgun blast, because there's so many strings to pull on this thing. But reading what the intelligence community is saying about it, oh, ain't it awful? We're all going to die if we don't have this. We will lose. We'll be flying blind in a snowstorm in the Rocky Mountains. I mean, it'll be just awful. And we can't gather the information we need, and all this chatter that's out there, we'll miss out on it. And the part that's concerning to many people about this is how this big net, this sweep happens that brings U.S. citizens on U.S. soil under the microscope to be examined. And we've mentioned the fact that during the Carter Page stuff, who was consulting with Trump back in those days, he was swept up in that. There were 4 warrants applied for, and literally and truthfully, some of those warrants were applied for with false information that the agents that applied for them knew was false, and they should be criminal liable. Now, in all the investigation, review, and consideration I've given to this thing, at no point have I ever heard anybody that has been criminally charged with this that applied for a warrant under fraudulent conditions. And so what I read is euphemistic terms, and they're like, when we find problems, we engage in better training, and we think we solve the problem, but they keep going around them. They, you know, what is better training that solves a problem with somebody lying on a warrant application? How do you solve that problem? Don't do it, you say. Well, okay. But the problem is, in addition to that, the FISA court, how do you get on the FISA court? It's unconstitutional. They say, well, they're Article 3 judges. Well, that means that originally when the judge was appointed to be a federal judge, the president made the nomination or confirmed in the Senate. So they're out there in a court. But how do they get on the FISA court? I mean, it's some federal court out there they're in initially. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court is the one that nominates them. Okay, so Judge Roberts basically has selected everybody that's on the court currently. Well, Judge Roberts
So let's be clear. You have no check and balance there whatsoever, violating constitutional reality.
Judge Roberts has made some big boo-boos. Anybody that wants to go back and review his decision on the Obamacare thing needs to understand he clearly did not understand the Constitution when he made his decision on that. But so we have all of these big boo-boos, no checks and balances, no separation of powers. So Judge Roberts puts these guys on right now. That violates the Constitution. So people are sitting there and they're looking way back to their initial appointment and saying, well, you know, yeah, but the President and the Senate said, yeah, okay, before. But now they have additional responsibility, huge power that's involved in their hands, to be able to say, we are going to, in an ex parte decision, we're going to say we're going to put U.S. citizens under the microscope. And then you got the court itself that is, as we said earlier, kind of a kangaroo court with a rubber stamp. And again, that's somebody else's wisdom. I wished I could remember who said it originally. I'd give them credit. But that's kind of the way they're operating right now. And so these euphemistic safeguards and everything like that they put in there, that we'll be careful, promise, we wouldn't lie to you. And then they have these broad sweeping powers that nobody really gets to a chance to examine. And so there's a few members of Congress right now that are saying, stand by, hold on, we need to really do an examination of this. Oh my goodness, it's sneaking up on us. In 3 weeks, we're going to be flying blind in the Rocky Mountains in a snowstorm. We're all going to die. We can't. We're just going to just promise we're going to do better. Extend it. And again, that's what they did in 2017 when Donald Trump signed it. And so that's what happens every stinking time this comes up. And since 9/11, 2001.
We want to blame the Democrats. We want to blame the Republicans. We want to blame the courts. We want to blame the president. We want to blame everybody, really, but the Republicans. For example, Matt Gaetz says this: you could not even waterboard me into voting to authorize 702. Gaetz told the New York Times. Now, Gaetz also previously introduced a resolution to let this expire. But here's the problem with this, okay? I appreciate that he wants to not be for 702. He doesn't want to be for FISA. But look, unless you kill NDAA entirely, it doesn't matter which sections you tinker with, Dr. Bradley. It doesn't matter at all. Because all they got to do is get rid of a section that you and I think 702 is bad, replace it with 1403, get a worse version of 702, titled something else, named something else, let it go for a year, two or three, bring it back under a worse provision. You've got to gut the whole thing or you're really going nowhere. So, I mean, I appreciate the discussion on FISA, but it's really an NDAA, FISA being a subdivision question. Does the government have authority to have the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, NDAA? I can keep going on and on and on and on and on and on. But all we're doing is tinkering with downstream how bad it gets. So let me give you an example. In the mainstream press, they even say this. Listen to this. Congress and the FISA court have attempted to limit the government's access to these communications, but the government has engaged in widespread violations, yeah, and violated these limits. Okay, so now no one's responsible. You see, you got these downstream groups. You got, well, the House approved it, but the Senate approved it, but the president signed it, but the courts created it, and the courts appoint people to it, and then it makes its own. Well, NDAA has its subgroups, and FISA has its own court, and skip the break, makes its own rules, its own groups, its own, and then they decide kind of their own internal regulations, and then we're like, hey, we got to rein this in, this is crazy, this is out of control. And then we find out government doesn't obey it, doesn't rein it in, doesn't violate it. George Bush lied as it expanded after 9/11 and said, hey, don't worry, this is only used for foreign people. Well, it's foreign people communicating in the United States, too. Well, it's really everybody. Well, it's... And you want to know who I hold responsible entirely? We the people. Secondly, those who we elect that hold the purse strings, the House. And now you got Matt Gaetz complaining. I appreciate that. Trying to stop it. I appreciate that. You got Jim Jordan complaining about it. You had Kevin McCarthy kind of babble about it. You've got now MAGA Mike Johnson saying, oh, man, but at the end of the day, they're going to sell us out, and this behemoth has got to be shut down. You got to shut it down at the NDAA level, doctor.
Okay, philosophically, the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, it has a constitutional origin. If you Article 1, Section 8, Clause 12, Congress shall have power to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. This was a constitutionally appropriate thing, so the military did not become the Leviathan that devoured our liberty, okay? So the National Defense Authorization Act, I think in 1962, nobody could have possibly envisioned that it ultimately would have been metastasized into where it is right now. I think, you know, honestly, the worst Democrat probably in Congress at the time was probably better than virtually anybody else that's currently in Congress. There was a much better, deeper understanding of constitutional issues. Yeah, there was yo-yos and bozos. But the fact of the matter is, by and large, I think that their intention, the philosophical intention of an authorization act for defense, could have made sense very easily in 1962. But what we've done, particularly...
What did we do for the first 150-plus years before that, though, see?
Well, they authorized the defense stuff on the basis of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 12. And so they passed a bill that says, okay, we're going to fund the military at this level. But what's happened...
In other
this
words,
kind
they
of
had more
a...
line-item discussions, and they passed things based on discussions. Now what they've done is rolled it into NDAA, which grows. We pass it without any scrutiny or real even any understanding about what we're talking about. Before, it was dealt with more on an individual basis of what was needed, what was approved, what was understood. This stuff was kind of vetted. These omnibus bills, these omnibus acts, are what, in my view, are the problem. The problem isn't saying, hey, we need defense. Of course we need defense. The question then becomes, okay, how do you break that down? How do you look at that? And how do those who we elect make decisions on what to fund and what not to and why? What becomes a threat and when? What can stop or what can't? See, now it's such a big, massive bill that you really can't even hardly stop any of it. Because if you vote against it, you're an enemy of defense, the way they pitch it. If you vote for it, you've sold the country out. They used to deal with things more piecemeal, more one line item, issue at a time kind of discussion. That's how it used to be, right?
You know, the omnibus bills, in my opinion, have become ominous, very closely related, but that you're absolutely right. What they do is they sweep everything into this big dustbin canister kind of thing that nobody ever looks at or no. And so you're either for it or against it. But they've put stuff over the years. I don't remember exactly what year we were doing this, Sam, but we were in Missouri. We're at one of the CSPOA things. Anyway, there was a big deal at that time about military commissions and these kind of hearings that the military was going to be more involved in, that they would discuss on a kind of, okay, the citizens might get pulled into these things. So all of this stuff has been done over the years, and you're absolutely right. We need to take it back down to the original intent and how they did it before. And this idea of sweeping everything into an NDAA, a National Defense Authorization Act, that is a must-pass bill. See, they get to these points and they say, hey, man, we can't let the defense of the country go to the dogs. And if you don't pass this bill, our soldiers and sailors are not going to get paid. I mean,
they'll
be
in danger. They won't be paid. The homeland will be virtually in a wreck.
See, here's the thing, and we hit all sorts of perverse spins on this thing. During the last news break, I was struck by the Biden statement that he's hyperventilating about this Ukraine funding that's got to be done. We're going to put the United States national defense posture at risk. Come on. You could review that at every single level, and it's a lie. Our defense posture is put at risk by passing Ukrainian funding for their war with Russia. You're taking our 155-millimeter artillery
without
shells.
Without us, I don't even know that they'd be at war with Russia.
Well, there's no question. I think that our 2014 coup that we participated in and facilitated in Ukraine actually brought this about. But we could discuss that at length. But the fact of the matter is, Biden is lying through his teeth. He probably doesn't know it. He's cognitively incapable of understanding some of the things he's reading off the prompter. But the fact of the matter is, everything that's being told now, our efforts to defend Israel and in their genocidal war against the Palestinian people. I mean, everybody is just whacked out, and we're trying to put these must-pass bills together that we don't have any reason to must-pass them. We can break this down into a digestible bite. You know, they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Okay, you can't cook the whole elephant and take it in one gulp, and that's what they're asking us to do with these big omnibus, ominous bills that are coming out. And the 702 is just one aspect of this. I mean, yeah, 702's got to be reexamined. FISA needs to be reexamined. Our methodology and National Defense Authorization Act needs to be reexamined. But nobody does this. We're so busy dinking around with every other aspect of things that Congress never had any authority in to begin with. They're so intently focused on doing things that they shouldn't be doing that they're not doing the things they should be doing. You know, we got all of these social programs, this transgender funding. We're going to fund in the military abortions that the women want to go travel to get done in a state that because the state they're serving in doesn't have it, and how we're going to do a woke military where we're going to teach the critical race theory in West Point, and all this nonsense. We're becoming a social club where we experiment with whatever can screw up society most instead of doing what was assigned to them in their job description in the Constitution. And nobody's talking about this going back to basics thing. And so that's why we're in such a mess. It's a whirlwind. And I apologize for contributing to that whirlwind when in the first half hour when I started just throwing mud against the wall and saying, look at this, look at that, look at this. Yeah,
well, and you're right.
It's all a mess.
And you're right on all of it. The problem is it's very hard for people to follow the knowledge that you have on the topic. And that's why I kind of, put it in position for people to understand. Look, NDAA does have some origins in the Constitution. All right. But not the way it's being done now. It doesn't. These huge spending bills, whatever you want to call them, pork barrel bills, whatever. You got to fund it or you're an enemy of the state lie that they use to push. Okay, it's got to go. These one item, one issue at a time, or whatever you want to say, single page, or whatever bills, where we literally fund the defense of America and appropriately look at what's needed for our real defense, not going to war with other countries unconstitutionally, etc., but looking at line items with relation to our real defense, letting people up and down vote on that, is absolutely constitutional. So let's not be confused about what's constitutional and not. It's how it's going down that's unconstitutional. It's what we're funding that's unconstitutional. And the biggest, in my opinion, dishonesty in the discussion is how we're not helping people separate, break this down, and understand it. So is the defense of America vital and constitutional? Absolutely. But is the way we're going about it with these huge, massive pork barrel spending bills, pretending that going to foreign wars is the same as defending the United States of America? It's a lie. Pretending that we have to spend this kind of money on all these programs to spy on Americans when that's not what the defense of America is about at all is a lie. Pretending militias have no place in America, but you got to have a, quote, international or national police force is a lie. To stand up for the proper role of single item vote up and down issues to defend the country from enemies foreign and domestic has absolute common sense to it. Doctor, am I making any sense?
You're making a lot of sense, but there's so many webs that have been woven on this stuff. I referred earlier to the USA Patriot Act passed in 2001. Horrifically bad.
Under the Republicans.
Well, absolutely, and George Bush. I mean, you need to understand.
See, they all share in this responsibility of selling us out, folks.
It's one of those things that we have not, in the slightest, understood how we have been sold out, and completely along the way. There's nobody. We send stuff through at cyclonic speed through the Congress because, oh my goodness, we're running out of time. We've got to do this today or else we're all going to die. And so everybody you know, bows down and kisses the ring and they move ahead, but there's no recognition of what we're giving away at each of those things. I mentioned my testimony between the in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee back in 2004, where I spoke against the Patriot Act reauthorization, and they ramrodded it through anyway. But just let me give you an example here about the Patriot Act. And by the way, that's the basis of our conversation being, well, we're on the air, obviously. But these capturing of stuff with the NSA and all our phone calls, our text messages, our emails, everything. But here's the logistics of the USA Patriot Act passage. It was introduced in the House on the 23rd of October in 2001. It was passed in the House the 24th of October, the next day, with 357 yeas and 66 noes. Okay? Okay, so that's the 24th. It gets sent over to the Senate. The 25th of October, it passed. The next day, there were 98 yeas and one no. The 26th of October, George W. Bush signed it. Can you say cyclonic speed? This document, you can't physically read it in one day.
It proves that it was absolutely prepared for that purpose.
It was. And by the way, the last time Orrin Hatch, I don't know if I can believe he lied about so many things, took credit or blame. I don't know whether it's blame or credit. In this case, it'd be blame, in my opinion. But the last time he ran for Senate was in 2012. And he claimed to be the principal author of the USA Patriot Act. It ties back to an omnibus crime bill that he participated in. Biden was involved in it too, back in the 1990s. At any rate, I don't think he had the intelligence to write the bill. I think that he claimed it. It was kind of like John Kennedy's book that got him the Pulitzer Prize that was ghostwritten for him by Sorensen, his speechwriter. Anyway, I diverge oftentimes with little strings. But the fact of the matter is, it was pre-written. The basis of it was put in the 1990s. It wasn't completely passed. Much of it was. But it was formulated in the 1990s to be sprung on the nation in 2001 at the appropriate moment. It happened 9/11/2001. That appropriate moment came. And so the 23rd of October, it was introduced in the House. And the 26th of October, it was signed by the president, having gone through the House and the Senate at cyclonic speed, as I say, and with massive approval. We're all going to die if we don't do this. We've got to give the tools to our people to protect our nation. What a pack of lies. And you just heard on the news break, Biden's spin on the national security issue for our country, spending billions of dollars in Ukraine on a no-win war that we helped facilitate with our coup in 2014. Sometimes if I seem breathless, I am. And as you pointed out earlier, Sam, we the people have to have responsibility in this. If we don't take that responsibility, we get the kind of government we've got. And by the way, I'm going to pull on another string that is concerning to me. We're approaching a time when we will have a Constitution Convention, if some people have anything to say about it. The people that got us in the mess today that makes people want to change the Constitution are the people that'll sit in that convention and rewrite our Constitution. Holy Hannah.
What All right, are we the debate thinking? Was a couple of days ago. It was the fourth debate. It almost matters not too much. It was a clown show. But there were a couple of things that I think are worthy of discussion. We'll talk about that next hour in detail, ladies and gentlemen. Hour one of the can. Hour two coming up. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. Check out his incredible weekly webinars on the Constitution and more. Check out his incredible collegiate series to preserve the nation, all at freedomsrisingsun.com. I am Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.